We'll get started now. Next time I'll learn how to do music properly and get that set up beforehand. So welcome to Tech Roundtable number 5. This is where we go over the technical developments on Juno over the past month, including upgrades, current plans, as well as future plans that we may have decided on in the past month. So firstly, I want to go over our previous upgrade that was successful, go over those features there and some expectations as well as documentation that is upcoming for those features to implement them in your contracts. The second point will be, what does the next upgrade bring? What are our focuses there? What features will this add, as well as new contributors that we have on the team? And then finally, the last thing is how we're better positioning ourselves for making testing of your contracts on a local instance much easier, much quicker, much faster, as well as just better to write it in your native language. And so I'll be discussing all of those things here. So last Monday, we launched the version 17 upgrade. This included two new modules. That includes the drip as well as clock modules. This also reduced our block times from 6 seconds down to 3 seconds. And then we had some other minor feature sets as well. So with the drip module, as you've probably seen from the Medium articles as well as shorts, it allows for a new team to quickly and efficiently launch their token to all Juno stakeholders in relation to the amount of stake that they have on the network as a percent. So if you're a massive whale, you would, of course, receive more of the tokens relative to someone that only has, say, one Juno staked. And so this allows for you to have an efficient distribution relative to the network economic, you know, how much someone has. So this is a great way to launch it. You don't need all these external scripts and all of this. All you do is you ask governance, or a contract in the future can ask governance. That will then be distributed to everyone. And there's also no tax event with that, because that is put into your pending rewards. So whenever you go claim your next rewards, you will then actually receive those tokens. So that way it's better from a tax efficiency perspective as well. So this uses the native SDK distribution module, so it's extremely efficient, as rewards are already handled out this way. This is a proven way that every chain is already doing it, and so it made sense from Denny's perspective to just use that module already. It has a proven track record, and now to allow others to leverage that as well for their own tokens in a drip fashion. The next module is the clock module, which allows for a smart contract to execute every single block and run whatever code it wants up to 1 billion gas. So right now, this is a permissioned contract. So you have to ask mainnet governance, hey, can we actually use this function? And if governance approves it, then you can. In the future, we want to make this permissionless, but we want to be cautious with this, as there could be things such as an attack vector that happens with it. And we want to just have some more time to test it out, but still allow contract developers with protocols ready to implement this today the ability to do so. So this removes a lot of extra infrastructure from the team side on, you know, building a protocol out where you need these external bots, you need more wallets, you need a bunch of queries, then, you know, you'll need the infrastructure setup. We remove all of that and allow it to be done on chain, because the chain itself is infrastructure. So we should leverage the power of that. Every single block, run whatever code you want. You can do IBC transactions through the contract. You can connect to other ones, you can query your other contracts, anything that you would normally do with a bot, you can now remove that bot and use the clock module for that. And that also saves you on both fees as well as time and setup. It only requires you to add a pseudo message, which is specific to our chain. I believe it's like Juno clock is the pseudo message. And every single block, you can specify that. Now, one thing that we have had from developers is, while it does execute every block, I don't want to do it every single block. Now, the thing is that you can check this within the pseudo message and check, maybe you only want to run this every 10 blocks. And so you can specify that within there and just return early out of your CosmWasm function. You don't have to execute every single block. And so it's up to you on, you know, building, say, like a croncat, for example, where croncat can, instead of having these external bots, they could build that within the actual contract itself and have the contract query for checks every single block of who hasn't actually submitted within, say, the last 1,000 blocks. And if so, kick them out automatically on a block-by-block basis without those external bots. So far, every team that I have discussed with this, they have some use case for it. And they're very excited because it removes a lot of extra overhead that really shouldn't have been a case anywhere in Cosmos, but now we're solving that. And so I think so far, this has been the most excited module of any developers. Like, you know, BeShare was great, but they're interested in Clock because it solves a lot of the major problems with developing in Cosmos as well as on CosmWasm. So that's extremely exciting. The next big announcement was the 3-second block times, where we reduced our block times from 6 seconds down to 3. So with this, it allows for better user experience. It allows for faster IBC transfers. It allows for better things on, like, say, for example, Raccoon Bet or DAO voting. All of this is just much easier. It's much simpler for users to use it. It's quicker, it's faster, and there's not really much overhead in terms of validator storage that's being taken up by this. After running some math, we're talking maybe 20 to 30 gigabytes per year of extra storage for empty blocks that are not used. And relative to the size of these archives that are, you know, upwards of, I think it's like 5 to 6 terabytes, you know, 20 gigabytes is like not even a drop in the bucket compared to that size. So it's extremely efficient. It brings much better user experience. We haven't seen any, you know, downsides by doing it. And so we migrated to the faster block times. From a validator perspective, you know, you just have to make sure that you're paired with many other people. And other than that, everything's been good. So validators have seen an uptick slightly in missed blocks, but we're talking like 14 missed blocks out of every 10,000. So it's an extremely low level, you know, it's comparable to kind of where we were before. You know, maybe you were missing zero before, but 14 relative to zero in the grand scheme of things is not much. And it's something that we're comfortable with as a risk, because it is such a small risk for all of the added benefits of user experience, as well as still being able to maintain the 150 validator set and keep that up and running at the 3-second time. So we're really excited about that. The other feature was the token factory message. We did rename this. This will break contracts that have launched in the past with token factory message. Some of those have been updated since. And this allows for us to natively talk with Osmosis and mint tokens on both sides, depending on who the admin is. So while this does break contracts, and we knew that going into it, it fixes it. So for example, DAODAO can launch a native token factory token on Osmosis, but still control it from Juno and mint from peer via IBC. So this is much more powerful. It's needed to match the Osmosis spec, who are the inventors of the token factory module. And we wanted to make sure that our bindings also match up. Without this, testing is a nightmare. Like, you almost can't test it. And so we just wanted to make sure everything is under one roof. We have that, and our added features to Token Factory are still now under this Token Factory message. So everything can properly connect with Osmosis, and anything that is Juno specific will still work on only Juno. So that is great, and more interoperability there. The next big thing is that we migrated the subDAOs from the distribution module over to governance. So before, the chain did own, say, like Core One and other aspects like this. But as we saw, people were confused by the distribution module and governance, as they are kind of, you know, correlated in an aspect where, yes, the community owns it, but the community is really governance. While distribution is the community as well, it's not as apparent in that aspect there. So we migrated every subDAO that was owned by the chain from distribution over to the governance. This is so, for example, whenever the wind contract that the proposal came up on MintScan and that failed, it was because they used the wrong module address there. So we were using that same module address that they used because it does make more sense. So that was a migration there that happened. Feature-wise, we have two things. BeShare will now allow DAODAO to register contracts natively. So if you launch a contract on DAODAO and then you decide that the team wants to register this, they can register it back to the DAO itself and receive 50% of those gas fees, or they can specify an outside wallet address, whether that be a multi-sig, another DAO, or just an individual's wallet to receive those funds every single block that an execution happens. So you're instantly paid as those go through. In the future, we'll add access to USDC, both Axelar as well as Noble USDC. That proposal's already up on Commonwealth. We just have to get that on chain. Then finally, the last feature here is that Global Fee. We have seen, so Global Fee is our module that allows for minimum fees to be set by governance. So governance at any time can increase it. We saw this in the past. And they can also vote to decrease fees as needed, depending on where the network is at, as well as the macro environment. With this, we have seen a lot of individuals who are using IBC through the new TFM.com, as well as IBC.fun. And they're doing these complex transactions that are doing multi-hop chain executions and swaps and all of these different things. And while this is a great user experience, it's also extremely expensive on the gas front. So the whole reason that we added Global Fee was to require everyone to use the same fee, because some validators do zero, others ones did higher, and then also be able to bypass IBC transaction cost for relayers specifically, where relayers are spending all of this money per month relaying all these transactions. How can we reduce that? Well, let's set IBC transactions to be free. And so we had that at 1 million. The default that was recommended was 200,000, but that is extremely low in terms of any transaction on the network. So we increased that to 1 million. That was good for a while, but as packet forward middleware and IBC hooks has been more broadly accepted by front ends and more users are using it, we needed to specify and to allow for a larger gas limit. So we've now increased this to 2 million. There's also a couple more IBC transactions that are ignored specifically for validators. So that way that we reduce the cost for validators, we increase the experience for actual users that, you know, they don't care what gas is, they just want it to work. And so that's why we've increased that there. And this also opens the door for better interchain accounts and abilities there. So that way it'll reduce costs across the board and improve user experience. We find that to be extremely helpful. Now, as you do IBC transactions, you'll notice in Kepler that you still are paying it. So while you still are paying fees, those fees are going to the network, it is bypassed for relayers specifically. So as they are transferring those packets back and forth to the other chains, this will save a bunch of money for them. So that's how that works there. There are a bunch of other, you know, minor changes here and some fixes, but those aren't really important compared to those main features in version 17. I now want to discuss what is coming up in our next upgrade, version 18. We've been hard at work at this since before version 17 started, as we're kind of rolling multiple upgrades up once. Here, currently, we have planned three modules. So the first module, these are all custom in-house modules that we've built. The first one is completed. This is a module slash plugin that allows for burning to actually work now. So the way that Juno's Mint module works is every single block, it's going to mint some tokens. And it is getting to a certain point of the number of tokens it has minted before it does the halvening. So every single period, it will do a halvening, which I believe is here within like the next 2 to 3 weeks. And so one of the considerations with this is that if you burn tokens, while it may burn for now, the mint module is still going to re-mint them in the future. So if you burn, say, 100,000 tokens, it still needs to mint that 100,000 before the halvening can happen. So this burn module, it's a new module to send these tokens to an account, and it's then going to subtract those from the actual mint module itself, so that way that it doesn't remint these in the future. So that way minting properly works as it is expected on other custom Wasm chains. This is a specific issue with Juno because of the fact that we have a forked mint module to match these needs that we have with inflation. So the burn module, burning will now work. It will actually burn the tokens. In the past, it acted like it did, but then it would just remint them later. So this is a big fix that's needed in the past 2 years. We've had many protocols reach out that we want a working burn, and so now we're getting that into this upgrade, and it is already done, and it is already tested. The next custom module is CW Hooks, CW standing for Cosm Wasm, which will allow for you to hook into staking as well as governance for the entire chain. So let's just say that a user is moving funds from validator A to validator B via a redelegation. Now in a Cosm Wasm contract, you can run whatever logic you want off of that. Now, what use cases does this have? Maybe you want to simulate a token that is a direct representation of the tokens that someone has on a validator. For example, we're going to want this whenever we move to DAO with governance. This is the whole reason we're building it, and other people may be able to leverage it as well. So as we've outlined in the evolution article, we have DAO, and we want to make DAO a core piece and a first-class citizen of the chain via governance. And one way to do this is to allow for a Juno staked token to directly represent in a DAO a derivative of that token that has no actual economic value, but has solely a voting power value there. And so now from the DAO side, it can keep track of, okay, someone is unbonding this token, so they no longer have that vote power. Let's remove that from them. Or they've redelegated, they still have it, but now it's with a different validator. Or they have delegated more tokens. We need to mint some of our, I guess you could say, fake tokens that directly represent that governance action there to do any actions within DAO. And so this allows for a native staking or a native voting solution through DAO for other contracts here. This is also a requirement for the Juno Charter. And so as you've looked through this and we're building up this, the staking module or this new hooks module will allow for the stake tracking, which will allow for governance to override a proposal, veto it, put it into a lock wait period, and do all those functions there through this hooks module. Now, while we were building this out, we've realized that we can also do this for governance. So whenever a new proposal comes up, or a proposal is put into deposit period or finishes voting period, you'll be able to hook into all of those natively and check whatever functions you want, do queries, or add other things. A useful example of this could be at the end of every single proposal, you could take a snapshot of every single voter and give them some token. So let's just say that proposal 360, for example, which has not been actually put up yet, was a team trying to launch a new airdrop. And maybe every person that voted on that, you wanted to give a portion of that airdrop to. Now you can do that easily through a single Cosmos line. Another useful thing would be if a proposal goes up into deposit period, maybe you want to build a contract that automatically deposits the rest of the tokens needed to get that to go live on voting. And so you can have a contract in partnership with the clock module automatically deposit on any legit proposals and through that aspect, based off like certain contributors or certain addresses or different things like that. So we're really excited about that module. That brings up the next step for evolution in terms of getting DAO to be a core part of Juno governance. And this is a requirement, and it's quite simple for other contracts to then also add in the future. So any contract will be able to register this permissionlessly. Finally, we have the fee prepay module, which we're renaming to fee pay module, which will allow for developers to prepay fees on behalf of its users. So we've seen this with other chains and Cosmos contracts. What they do is they have a front end that does some free grant stuff to allow a contract to pay for those fees. While this is great, and this is the same solution that we're going after, it's specific to each contract. You need a backend team that understands how fee grants work, make sure that wallet is, of course, up to date and has enough funds. And at the same time, build it out into your UI, where every single UI is going to have a different focus in terms of allowing for that fee grant there. And is this a way to get this solution? Yes. Is it the best way? No, we don't believe so. So our solution here is to add a module, which will allow a team, a developer, a user to register their contract to pay for others' fees. Now, while this is great, there could be some downsides. For example, what happens if someone spams your contract with a bunch of executes for no reason? Now you're out all this money. So the solution that we have here is that you're going to be able to specify certain parameters within, reason of how many executes do you want a certain address to do? Do you want it to be just for a specific execution method? Maybe you want, some other logic there. And so as we see more what developers do want, we want a base version out there, allow people to experiment, make this easy, and it abstracts away all the UI. So that means that much like FeeShare, where you didn't have to do anything other than register it, all you have to do is register it here. So you register your contract, you give it some funds, and then you tell it, hey, maybe I only want people to use this 5 times. You get 5 free executes on this method within my contract. Your UI stays the exact same. You don't have to modify anything. You don't have to change any Kepler settings. The users just go in, they'll run their transaction. It will pay for their fees behind the scenes. They will not lose any funds, and it'll subtract that from your account balance there. So it's an extremely efficient way to pay for others' fees and leverage other parts of the Cosmos SDK there, as well as have a better user experience. So if a user comes in, you know, maybe they've staked all of their tokens on accident. They have no rewards currently. They want to interact to, say, withdraw their rewards from a smart contract. They could now be able to do that through this, where maybe once a month they get access to one free withdrawal. So they can then withdraw those funds for free. The developer would pay that. But at the same time, while you're paying the entire fee, 100% of the gas, if you leverage fee share, your fee is actually only 50%. So this is also a way to return value back to users who are using your app. And maybe you have an alternate funding mechanism there. And so it allows for more meta plays in terms of how fees are working, how users are spending funds, as well as how you are making money. It allows for a better correlation there, as well as better user experience. On the governance side, we're going to allow the metadata field now to have as many characters as you want, basically. In the SDK 47 upgrade, this limited it to 255. This is why on MintScan and PingPub and other apps, you've seen an IPFS link. It's because that's how it's expected to be. This is not a Juno-specific thing. This is an SDK-specific thing. And it is one of the biggest downsides of upgrading to this 47. So with that, we're upgrading that to be unlimited characters. This way, we are not reliant on IPFS. This is a major downside. I strongly dislike this. We were going to fork out the module, but we decided not to, just to see how it would work. And we're still of the point that we want to move to longer metadata. We want more text. We want users to see everything on chain. It's cheap enough. It can be on chain. We don't want to move things off to IPFS. So while we disagree with that change, you know, we've seen that this is an issue, and so we are going to be fixing that. The other upgrade that we're having in this is Cosm Wasm 1.4. This is going to allow for two times as many Wasm contracts to be cached on the chain side. This means better gas execution. It's more efficient in that terms because it's all just held in memory. And so while the average user will notice a slight decrease in cost for more active contracts, there's not much overhead because of Wasm or 4. So that's a great addition there. On the storage iteration front, it's way more effective, both for iterating through keys and values. There's a better iteration of coins now, so you don't have to convert it to a vector of coins to iterate coins. You can just iterate those coins through either through that slice or however that's deposited to you in the contract. There are going to be new queries for delegation rewards, total rewards, as well as like validator delegations. So you're going to be able to get more data from the chain. A lot of this we do currently have via Stargate queries, but while those are more advanced, this is an easier just import it from Cosm Wasm standard and then select that you want to do the delegation rewards request through the delegation module, and it'll handle all of that for you. Finally, there is a Wasm benchmarking ability now because of some structural changes. So you're going to actually be able to almost simulate Cosm Wasm in a easy to reproduce environment very quickly without needing an actual chain. This is, of course, very, very early development still, but is something that is possible because of Cosm Wasm 1.4, as well as the Confio team building that out. So there's some exciting changes there. The last two things on the version 18 planned upgrade is the ability to query the Mint module. You can tell what's the target supply. This is what we talked earlier about the burn module. Now you can see where is that actually coming up, which is useful for UIs, as well as just individual users wondering when that happening is happening. And then finally, we're going to now allow for fee share executions to also be through auth z executes. This is a very small amount of actual transactions that go through, but we wanted to add this in to make fee share now like fully feature complete in terms of every single execution method is now possible through fee share, and those fees will be returned back to those developers that were running that. This is what we currently have planned for version 18. In the event that the IBC Go version with the Wasm client is released, we will be trying to get that into this upgrade, hopefully. We've been told it could be about a month, so that would be in line with where we expect it to be. All of the work is done on our side. We just have to bump one version to get it up to IBC version 8 and then get that all launched. So we're still, you know, trying to get that in. Everything is done from our side, but we are beholden up to the audit as well as the IBC Go team as we wait on that, which will allow us to connect to the Polkadot chain, as well as some other chains, wink, wink, in the future. So we're really excited about that and really thankful for the Strangelove team's work on that WASM client there. So that's version 18. That we went over version 17. You know, that's what we have planned from an upgrade perspective. But now the question is, great, we have all these features. And while that's great for developers, we don't know how to test them. We don't know how to use them. And also we don't like know how to end-to-end test them. So the difference, there's normal testing through Rust where you can just say, hey, cargo test, and it's going to test all of those functions based off of logic within the contract only. But that's only one part of testing. The next part of testing is having it actually run against the chain. Now, this means you compile the contract, you launch the contract onto a mock chain, a fake chain that's local, and then you run some functions against it. For example, query the contract config natively and see what are those values back. And then if I execute against it, does it actually execute, or was some of my logic wrong that I maybe didn't test in the Rust testing? And so by doing this, it's better from a this actually works versus, oh, it works on my machine. And so we want to solve that problem as well. So we're working on, we built local interchain 3-4 months ago to allow for this to be made easier. The feedback was that as a CosmWASM developer, you write Rust, you don't want to write Go, and you also don't want to really write Python. I mean, maybe you're okay with writing TypeScript because you do a front end, but you're a Rust developer. You want to build your end-to-end test in Rust. So with this, local interchain will be adding and is adding a Rust driver. I'm taking the lead on that, which allows for you to write end-to-end test through interchain test from the Strangelove team, but in Rust. So while interchain test is in Go, you can now write end-to-end test via Rust. There is currently an example up in my GitHub repository. There's also a branch in the interchain test repo as well for this Rust driver, which allows for you to easily and quickly iterate on an actual running chain, including with IBC, with very minimal configuration. We're talking like some JSON, in the future, maybe some YAML files, and launch at that chain, run a binary script that says, hey, here's my contract, upload it to chain, give me that address, execute against it with this either CertAJSON or just a raw string, and then query that either through, again, CertAJSON or the raw string, give me that value back. I'm going to parse it. I'm going to check it. I'm going to make sure it works. And this allows for an extremely quick and easy to debug development environment versus just trying to run it on interchain test. So while in the past, whenever I was writing tests in Go against a CosmWASM contract, it was taking me upwards of 3 to 4 hours to like just get the basics done, because there'd be small things. You have to restart the test. It takes another 7 minutes for it to all start up. And there's all these like downsides there. And now this removes all of that. It allows you to set up the environment 30 seconds to 1 minute while it sets up all of those. I'm going to be working on making that much quicker, where you can get almost instant start times by taking a snapshot after all of the chains are set up, including the faucets and IBC connections and all of that, and then taking a snapshot there and just restarting from that if nothing's changed with the chain. And so having an extremely quick setup environment, you run your bash script or you run your Rust script, you realize, hey, maybe I misspelled something in one of my tests here. Let me go fix that. And then you just run it again and it's ready to go and it just starts running again in a new instance. And so it's extremely quick from a rapid development standpoint, as well as like being able to actually do test-driven development now, where you can pre-decide what do you want it to do, write out that test, and then write your contract for it to match those specs. So it's a much better experience for CosmWASM developers. And I'm really excited to have that done. I'm thinking the end of today or like early tomorrow, where users can currently automatically implement this. My CI pipeline works where you can just copy paste that into your repository and begin testing. We've had many developers reach out. They are highly interested to the point that they want to like begin already contributing before it's even on like a mainnet release. And so we're extremely excited about the Rust driver and what it will bring for CosmWASM developers. Better testing. We'll have some great integration docs and examples, and just making testing better on Cosmos natively and quickly. And so, that's where our focus is. And from a dev UX experience that's really needed. So that's Rush Driver for local interchain that will also have an announcement at Cosmoverse. So if you're watching the talks there, you'll be able to kind of understand more what is the difference between local interchain and the interchain test. So that's all I have from my time today. If anyone here has any questions, feel free to come up. I'm happy to answer anything on the technical front in relation to any of these or anything even I didn't mention. And then if not, we will head out early today. But yeah, the Rust driver is a massive step forward in terms of testing, because the previous way to do this is you had to know Bash, which for any non-programmers is like writing chicken scratch. It literally looks like chicken scratch. And so getting people off of that, being able to leverage tech that has already been proven, interchain test runs Noble, it runs Juno. It's the reason that Juno has not halted in any of the upgrades that I've ran since version 12. Now we're on version 18. We've never halted because interchain test is able to test for these use cases before they even hit mainnet, where every single time that I push up some code, whether that be a single line change or an entire rewrite, it's going to test all of the previous use cases and make sure, hey, does IBC work? Did the upgrade work? Is the upgrade handler correct? Is the version correct? Like, is this actually version 17 upgrade or is this version 18 upgrade? With every single push, we can check all of those things. So we're excited to be bringing that to CosmWasm developers. It's really needed. It's great for chains, but that's because chains are written in Go. And now with having a Rust-based version of that, we can focus on the Rust side and CosmWasm developers from an application standpoint. Hey, Fairy, you should be up, but it says you're still a listener, so I don't know what happened there. I guess you bugged out. Yeah, and again, that will be out either today or tomorrow, as well as there'll be a Cosmoverse announcement on it and kind of explaining how easy it is to set up compared to the current state of Cosmos and infrastructure. Well, other than the one bug person, it doesn't look like anyone's had any questions, so I'm excited to have got to announce all this. Oh, here you go. Yep, you able to hear us?
Hey, Jace. No, thank you so much. It was actually a misclick, but I'm looking forward to the stuff that's coming. It's just been hard to keep track of it all. I look forward to working with people closer in the near future when there is time available. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, absolutely. I put up a tweet thread the other day of how have we been communicating these upgrades? And while there is a lot, I think we need to do a better job of giving examples, showing use cases, whether that be videos or just Medium articles, going over each individual thing. Because we're packing all of these great features in, but it is overwhelming to see the drip module, and then there's going to be clock, and then now we have CW hooks, and there's so many different things, and we need a better explanation and videos on how these actually interconnect, and giving the ideas to developers to actually leverage it versus just, oh, we have it, but no one uses it. And so that's going to be my next focus in terms of better communications to developers from a experience of, I want to use this, or I have this problem. How does Juno actually solve that for me? And so that's the next iteration now, as we do have, I think we're coming up on 6 or 7 custom modules. And a year ago today, we had 0 custom modules. So, we're flying ahead in terms of features that we want to add to developers. But we need to make sure that developers actually know how to use it. And if they're not using it, do we actually need that, or do they want something else? And so just trying to find out where that fit is for our community and making sure that goes through. I do not see any other requests. So now this will conclude the tech roundtable number 5 for Juno. It's a great privilege to be able to share with you guys all of these great features and continue to knock out new features that we need. So really exciting time. Really enjoyed having you guys, and see you soon. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known a politic, I was born to frolic. It's been
been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary fall. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lay stacked and non-toxic, just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the verbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Terror Spaces.